Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Get a chance to visit with Kurt Gibson with the IHSA this morning. He's the administrator that oversees eSports, first-year state tournament series for that. The sectionals are April 23rd. The state finals, April 30th at Bloomington High School. We're going to talk about that and then also talk about the bass fishing state tournament series. We're getting set for the postseason there. I think the sectionals May 5th and the state finals at Carlisle Lake May 20th and 21st. All right, eSports, 8 sectionals, 123 total schools entered in the inaugural state tournament series in eSports. What do you think, Kurt Gibson?
I think the excitement is building. Our office has been talking with the different sectional managers and the state final managers, and everybody is really starting to get pumped up about this. And this week, the schools completed their online, we'll call it a form, where they notify our office, here are the students that are going to be playing in each of the different events. So now we've got a real good handle on, for each sectional, how many schools are going to have a Rocket League team and how many are going to have students playing 2K. And so we're getting that information out to our managers. And when we start getting that type of information out, it becomes real. So we're excited and really looking forward to these next couple of weeks.
Yeah. And it's 3 different games. You said Rocket League, 2K, and the other one, Super Smash Brothers, right?
Yes.
So can you,
Super Smash, we're playing singles and doubles. So it's like, even though it's the same game, it's a little different in terms of the play. So it really becomes 4 events is how we'll describe it.
Yeah. Can you, you know, just logistically speak a little bit kind of how you determine these are the games that are going to be played in the inaugural state tournament series? Because I'm assuming each state tournament series, as you move forward, it's going to be maybe different games you'll utilize.
Without a doubt. And that was really the biggest part of the discussion that our advisory committee had over probably a 6-month period, a year to 18 months ago, because there were about a dozen games on the table. I know you and I have talked before. I think League of Legends at one point was a game that had a lot of early legs, but for a variety of reasons just didn't pan out. And so there were like a number of games, like there were 3 sport games. We talked about hockey, soccer, and basketball. Eventually the committee decided on basketball. And then the other games at that time, and they're still popular. They had maybe that those were like as popular as any games, Rocket League and Smash Brothers. So the committee just landed on those 4, and that'll be something that they review on a yearly basis. So you're 100% right that those could change. They could all change, or a couple could change on a year-to-year basis. Maybe these remain and a couple more are added. We'll just have to see how that discussion unfolds.
I'm just curious. So, like, what's the learning curve been for you in terms of, and I know it's not just you doing this. I mean, there's a committee, and when they studied, you know, let's see if we can move forward with a state tournament series in eSports. You know, I'm sure it's a little bit more than, hey, I'm going to go down in the basement and, you know, play video games with my sons, yeah, to determine, and maybe that's part of it, but I'm saying what else kind of went into all this?
Well, I think once the games were decided, I think the biggest learning curve for everybody has also been, so like all these games have any number of settings that they could be played at. And so trying to then decide what settings to use for this inaugural year then became the next dominant topic that our advisory committee worked through. And, you know, when you have to choose between various settings, eventually you're going to land on some and some people who maybe are, air quote, experts on these games and say, oh, I wish you would have gone down this road and used these settings for whatever the game is. It'd almost be like in a different sport, like in basketball, you know, there's a lot of ways you can run offense. And it's almost as though, you know, the committee was forced with coming up with some parameters to say, okay, we're only going to run motion offense and flex offense. And I'm just coming up with 2 names here, you know, even though there's a multitude of other offenses and defenses that could be played. So that really became then a learning piece for everybody as we tried to figure out what made the most sense for the wide range of skill that all these students who are going to play these games are going to bring to the table this year. So that was one piece. And I'd say the other piece has been from the manager's perspective. I think there's some initial not uncertainty, but because it's new and the games are being done in person as opposed to people being at home or online and just meeting up in a virtual space, there's also just some, have we covered everything that we need in terms of equipment and facilities and our technology, our bandwidth for the internet? Are we going to be good? And so it's coming together, but there's certainly been some things we've stashed away to make sure we improve for next year.
Yeah, that's interesting about the bandwidth. That's something I didn't think about, and it's like, well, yeah, you're going to need that at the sectional.
Yeah.
And then when you speak to the settings, that's interesting too, because that's another thing I didn't think about. Now, does that like fall under like terms and conditions, or how is that, I guess, devised or set up?
Yeah, it does. In the terms and conditions, which is the guiding document, we'll say for all the IHSA sports and activities, and each sport and activity has its own unique terms and conditions that lay out how the various state tournament series will be held, when, where, how they're going to be played, all those types of details. In esports, we sort of took a model from the speech individual events tournaments, where we have a line in the terms and conditions that say the games will be played under the rules outlined in the game summary, which is at the end of the document. So it's almost like an appendix. So then for each game, the committee devised what the specific settings and guidelines would be for the game. So they're tied in as like I said, like an appendix, if you will, at the end of the terms and conditions.
Yeah. And you said, I think originally when we were weaving our way through the pandemic, probably the initial thought was maybe this is going to be, as you mentioned, a virtual space event, but now it's going to be a physical location. And I know the first year you're utilizing, I think Bloomington High School as the state finals site. Now I'm assuming, just like any state tournament series, that eventually could change. But is there a reason kind of that they're serving as the host? I know, of course, Bloomington is a central location. It's just they're one of the venues that stepped up and said, hey, we can host this thing, I think.
Yeah, a little bit of both there. Exactly. Their location is right in the center of the state, which is great. And that was important to us. We have a number of schools in the southern part of the state, well below Springfield, that are playing in esports. And while the majority of the schools may be in the suburban area of Chicago, we wanted to be sensitive to the folks that are going to qualify who aren't in the suburban area, not have to make a, 4 or 5 hour drive for this inaugural year. So Bloomington offers a central location. And the other thing that's going to be neat is Illinois Wesleyan, Rocket League is going to be played in the esports building on the campus of Illinois Wesleyan University. So Smash Brothers and NBA 2K awards check-in will be done at Bloomington High School, but Wesleyan turned an old campus building into a gaming facility, for lack of a better description, and they have nearly four dozen computers. They've got a broadcast area for their casters when they're, broadcasting, streaming the competitions they hold there. They've got a sort of small, but it's a nice area for spectators, a handful of spectators, and a projection screen that they can show what's going on. So that area is perfect for the Rocket League game. And there have been a number of groups who've used that space during the year. And Wesleyan is, two turns from Bloomington High School. So we'll easily be able to shuttle people there, play Rocket League, and then, like I said, they'll come back for the awards and we'll have the other games going on at Bloomington. So it really fit nicely there in Central Illinois.
Well, so again, on April the 30th, we'll crown the state champs in esports. And I guess when you look at your career, this is just like a personal question. Did you ever think, man, I'm getting into this IHSA interscholastic athletics and activities, and now I'm going to you know, hand out the state championship medals in esports or video gaming. Did you ever think you'd do that? Huh? Come on.
No, that's it. You're exactly right. All of our paths are winding and different, and they take us in different directions. And sometimes around that curve is something you never saw coming.
I just say credit, because somebody said I did a story after the entry closed, all right, for the schools that could participate, and I tweeted out something about 123 schools have entered in the inaugural Esports State Series, IHSA Esports State Series, and I use the hashtag the future games here, and somebody said, oh, Taylor, that's great, you came up with a slogan. And I'm like, gosh darn it, no I didn't, the IHSA already came up with a slogan.
Yeah, we played off our bass fishing slogan for that.
Yeah, but I like it, and I like the logo. Yeah, that you have, and I think that, you know, I'm pretty excited about the opportunity, and it's something different, and maybe it gets, like I say, it maybe gets more kids involved that haven't been involved in a different activity, right, or athletic. I mean, so I guess 8 sectional sites for the first year, and 123 schools have entered in the inaugural state series. Are you kind of happy with, you know, that setup, I guess, right off the bat?
Yeah, that's about 15% of our membership, the 123 schools. So that's a good number. At one point, and this is typical in all sports and activities that IHSA conducts, as you approach, schools will enter, and then as you approach the deadline for confirming that or getting in a form of some kind, then you'll see schools drop. So we had maybe a couple of dozen schools that ended up dropping out of this year's event, which, you know, you're always disappointed when that happens, but we're very happy with the 123 schools that are entered. We knew we had around 100 that were doing it, so we feel like we've added some this inaugural year, and that'll continue to grow like we see with bass fishing, which started out at, you know, 200 schools entering, and now today we're at 330 or some number like that in bass fishing. You just see that incremental growth over time.
All right, so again, esports, the first sectionals, April the 23rd. And then the state finals, April the 30th at Bloomington High School. And then they'll utilize Illinois Wesleyan too. And again, 8 sectional sites on April the 23rd. All right. You mentioned bass fishing. I want to segue and head there as we get set for the sectionals May the 5th. And then the state finals May 20th and 21st at Carlisle Lake. And yeah, you mentioned 2009 was the first year for the first state series in bass fishing, 199 schools. And I'd looked up 320 teams for the 2022 state series. And we had talked, you know, the past couple of years about, you know, with the growth in the number of schools now fielding teams for the state bass fishing series, you need some additional water. So yeah, I think you go from 22 to 25 sectionals this year. Was it that much of a challenge to find the 3 additional locations for the bass fishing sectionals?
No, it wasn't. And we were actually at 25 a year ago. So we were able, for the most part, to use the same lakes again. So that's been a pretty seamless process. I think the next step for us, and we've talked about this, and your viewers or your listeners have probably heard us talk, that our next step is, because of the growth, it's getting to be time to add another round to that state series. Right now, we're just sectionals and state finals. Our advisory committee has worked on some models. We've talked about it with the coaches. The coaches also want to see another competitive opportunity. So I think when the committee meets next year, we'll be talking about, having a regional, then a sectional, and then a state finals. Perhaps as soon as next school year, but that could be still another year away, just because of, you know, getting everything squared away.
So then how many regional locations would you need then? You know, you're talking about 25 sectional sites and then.
Yeah, we'd probably be looking at 5 sectionals that would qualify 10 to 12 boats. So we might see a reduction in the number of boats at the state finals. That's got to be determined, but 5 sectionals. And then we would have What we're looking at is six regionals feeding into each sectional. So it would create a need for some new bodies of water, but the number of boats that would be in each regional would be reduced. And so that should open up more opportunities for some lakes that are good fisheries, but just not quite big enough to handle the capacity that we would currently be trying to send to them, which is going to be around 25, 26, 27 boats, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So we feel good about when we make that transition, being able to accommodate everybody in that way.
Now, could you have a situation where it overlaps where a regional host could also be a sectional host in bass fishing or not?
Sure. Oh, yeah, it could. Yeah, due to the unique nature of things, that could very, very easily happen.
It was interesting for RFD Radio last week. I interviewed one of the Illinois Outdoor Hall of Fame recipients this year is from Geneva, but he teaches at Batavia High School and is the bass fishing coach there and the president of the Illinois Bass Fishing Coaches Association, Bass Fishing Coaches Association. And he was he helped kind of move the needle and get this IHSA state tournament series in bass fishing going. This Brian Drendel I talked to last mm-hmm. week. So you got to be stoked that, you know, the recognition from the IHSA state bass fishing series, you know, is getting some recognition from, you know, those entities like the Illinois Conservation Foundation and the Illinois Outdoor Hall of Fame. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Oh, it's very cool. And, you know, this program is built on the backs of so many people. You know, you mentioned a Brian Drendel, who's a leader in the bass fishing, high school bass fishing community here in our state. You've got, you know, Dave Ganaway, who was in our office and got the program started. Terry Brown, who's a local fishing expert and a sort of a fishing media guy. And so there are just so many people that have helped this program grow and bring recognition to young people and to the activity of fishing, which is a great one. So, it is neat and it's gratifying, and that's, and watching it grow and get to this point where, okay, we got to expand this thing is really a good feeling.
And do you think, so we're at 320 this year. So how much higher do you think you can go in terms of member schools participating or fielding a bass fishing team?
That's a really good question, because there is a little bit of a cyclical nature to it. While we see, you know, 6 to 7 to 8 schools add each year, there are some that drop by the wayside as a crop of students comes through and graduates. But I think it's realistic that there could be half the membership. I think that would be a realistic goal. So we're talking about 410 schools, whatever, somewhere in that ballpark, that will someday be consistently bass fishing. Because I think some of these schools where the students have graduated, they're going to at some point want to give back. They're going to remember their experiences, and they're going to stay connected to their school and their community and become boat captains and whatnot and say, hey, let's keep this going. I remember when I represented our school at the sectional or state finals, and we still have youngsters here that want to fish. So I'll step up and help out.
Oh, and I tell you what, I love interviewing bass fishing kids. I mean, I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty protective of, you know, hey, can you tell me this? Or, oh, no, I'd have to kill you if I told. No,
right.
Just kidding. And then even hearing the coaches, when I was talking to Brian Drendel last week, I said, you know, about fishing, the thing that's interesting is the coach can learn so much from the student. You know, maybe he's doing something different or something that you haven't thought about it as a coach. And he said, heck yes, that happens all the time. And I think that's such a great story. And again, just kind of the growth and the tradition that has developed here with the bass fishing state tournament series. I mean, the IHSA, you guys got to be pretty proud about this thing now.
Oh, yeah, certainly. You know, there and very, very, very much proud. We're proud of it. And we have more states on a yearly basis will inquire about our program and say, how did we get it going? And, you know, how do we pull off a, you know, a state series, and how do we let, you know, and all those kinds of questions. And so it's definitely a program that has taken root here in our state. It's known across the country, and we're really, really blessed. Like I said, David, so many people that have supported this in the beginning, continue to support it, and can see the benefit that it brings young people through their participation.
And then, so Carlisle Lake, how long are they in? I mean, they've been the lone host since 2009. Mm-hmm. Is their current contract, is that coming up, or has that been renewed, or what is the status regarding that?
Yeah, that was just renewed. Over the summer, and it was a 3-year arrangement. So this will be the first year of a 3-year period where we'll remain at Carlisle Lake.
Yeah, and they've been a great host for it since the inaugural event in 2009. All right, we're done talking about esports, and we're done talking about bass fishing. Just mm-hmm. You're the administrator in charge of boys basketball. What'd you think of the state tournament returning to Champaign in the new four-class setup here in 2022?
It was very exciting. It was, as people will know, the first time since, let's just chew on this, since the 2018-19 school year that an entire basketball season was played in Illinois and concluded with a state tournament. And so that, first of all, it was like, wow, it's been that long. It was over 1,000 days since we had last played a basketball state finals. And so to bring in a new format and then go back to Champaign, a new venue, were both challenges, but it was tremendous fun. And we learned a lot with the new format. And so we're continuing to talk internally. We've got a basketball advisory committee coming up later this month. We've sent a questionnaire out to coaches to get feedback on the new format. So there could be some changes coming. We'll just have to see how that all plays out. The venue, man, that was a really, mm-hmm. They've done just such great work at the State Farm Center. Their staff was wonderful to work with. The folks in Peoria were wonderful to work with, but everything seemed to be spot on with the University of Illinois and their crew. So, and you know, we had some incredible games, which always adds to it. So really blessed, really feel good about it. And I think on the whole, the feedback we've gotten, it sort of mirrors that. People really were excited to be back in Champaign.
Yeah. So I'm assuming when you're talking about maybe looking at any alteration or any change, you're talking about maybe fine-tuning the schedule of how the layout would look Thursday through Saturday going forward.
Yeah. And we've talked a little bit about during like regional and sectional week. One of the big changes this year was playing the quarterfinal round games on Saturday at the site of the higher seed. So we've gotten a lot of feedback on that. You know, and that sort of split, as many people that were saying, not sure if I like that, were saying, hey, this was a good idea. So those kinds of things. And then, like you said, looking at the state final schedule, are there ways we can tweak that? Those first 2 days are long days, and they can end pretty late. And so if there's anything we can do to avoid that ending so late, maybe trying to provide more of a multi-day experience for every team that qualifies. Those are things that were being discussed right now, and we'll see how that all shakes out.
And then as far as shot clock for next school year, is that going to be an experimental thing next school year for some areas or some games?
I think that's where we're going to land. Our board of directors meets on April 12th, and then they'll meet again in June. Our office during the course of this school year has asked for feedback from school administrators, coaches, and officials on sort of their take on, you know, the shot clock. We're going to share results of all of those with the board next week. And I think what you alluded to in your question is likely what next year is going to look like for folks that have the technology installed in tournaments or shootouts that want to experiment, let's use that word, with the shot clock. They'll be able to do that, and we'll begin to look at bringing it along then in future years on a broader level.
Is it 30? Will it be 35 seconds for high school? Or is
it 35 seconds? Yeah, that's what the the high school rule that states can adopt is set at.
All right. All right. Well, I think we talked about enough today, bass fishing and esports and high school basketball. But it's nice that we're talking about all these things. And you said how, you know, it's going to be we're winding down the school year, but still have a lot of stuff to finish up on and some excitement. There's no question about that. And hopefully we get a little more consistent, better weather, too. But yeah, we always appreciate the update. Thank you very much, Kurt Gibson.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it as we do this on the opening day of the Major League Baseball season. Hope springs eternal, right?
That's right. Hope springs eternal. That's right. Hope springs eternal. Good to visit with Kurt Gibson. He joins us on WRMJ.